I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Fierce air and artillery strikes have been reported in Gaza this morning as Israeli forces expand their ground operations in the enclave. Israeli Defense Forces released this video of infantry and armored vehicles on the ground, on the move rather. Our Deborah Pata has more from Jerusalem.
Determined to show he is in full control, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Israeli troops over the weekend. You're surrounded by a sea of love, he told them. I salute you. This is the public face of Israel's war against Hamas. Grainy Israel Defense Forces footage showing a clean, clinical operation.
That is a CBS report on what was happening over the weekend. As you were hearing, and we've been told repeatedly, the IDF and its drones or airstrikes have been trying to hit with precision specific targets that they had identified. Israeli tanks and troops did enter Gaza going into the weekend. They're now basically the northern section of Gaza City, still advancing slowly. They're trying to make sure they keep their forces as safe as possible, trying also to locate any civilians that might be in the way of harm and get them out of the way, and of course possibly rescue some hostages. To that extent, we had word earlier that there had been an Israeli soldier had been released by the Hamas terrorist. Now it appears, according to the IDF, that the officer, the soldier, a female soldier, a private, was actually rescued by the IDF forces. She had been taken hostage at an observation post on October 7th when everything happened. And, of course, there was fear of what would have happened to her because she's clearly a soldier, not a civilian. She was kidnapped by the terrorists but now is back with her family and considered to be relatively healthy. And earlier today, Hamas released propaganda video of three hostages criticizing and demanding Prime Minister Netanyahu comply with demands that Israel release all Palestinian terror prisoners in return for a purported liberation of the 239 or now maybe 238 hostages that Hamas took October the 7th. The rescue of the IDF soldier suggests Israel might have other options. A ground invasion might help release hostages, as some have already suggested. That is what some of them have been doing. We've told you before. The Israeli Defense Forces have special teams apparently on the ground in Gaza. The United Kingdom had offered special hostage rescue teams. The U.S. has offered U.S. hostage rescue teams. They might all be in the area looking for a chance to free hostages. We do know that earlier in the day, tanks from the Israeli Defense Forces and some of their troops encountered numerous terrorists and reportedly killed most of them, if not all of them. This is an ongoing and escalating conflict. October 30th, 2023. Glad to have you on board with us for the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA back to back. We're here every night for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And we also are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Easy to watch and or listen. And if you miss any of it and you want to go back and hear or watch something you missed or share with others, which I always encourage you to do, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. And you can add comments. I try to stay up on some of the comments coming in, but obviously we have so many platforms we're putting the program on. I will try to answer some on one, and then I go to another one. I see I haven't even begun to touch some of the questions or issues raised on that platform. Please forgive me for being slow to respond, but I am trying. So right now, as the Israeli forces move into Gaza City, they know one of the things they have to deal with, the massive labyrinth of tunnels that the Hamas terrorists have put together over years and years, preparing for such an event. They have tunnels into every part of Gaza City, every part of Gaza, the Strip itself, and often those tunnels end up being under hospitals, and the only way to get to them would be the use of bunker bombs. I want you to hear from retired Marine Colonel Bannock on use of bunker bombs.
You can set a delay potentially on the fuse of some of these explosives so that they will go to the depth that they need to and detonate. When we think about the math and the science that goes into it, the technology is absolutely there for us to be careful in the way that we are applying these ordinances. But it's not perfect, as you said. There is risk to both anyone underground and our troops that are in the area.
And by being in the area, that means you blow up a tunnel that's underground, maybe two, three levels, and repercussion through the earth, causing other buildings nearby to collapse, other parts of the ground to give in. Who knows what else you're triggering? And because often in those tunnels, Hamas has hidden many of its weapons, they might also then explode. So you're taking a lot of risk. One prior suggestion had been maybe the only way to get Hamas out of the tunnels and to exterminate those hiding in the tunnels would be gas. That'd be contrary to Geneva Convention. And, of course, if used, you'd want to make sure IDF forces are properly prepared for it. But then again, when you do that, you're going to get a lot more civilians that are down in the tunnels being used as human shields and maybe hostages. Now that we have kidnapped rescue teams, hostage rescue teams, I should say, on the ground in Gaza and apparently rescuing some, including an Israeli female soldier who was taken hostage on October 7th, we're probably going to try, I would imagine, to see more of those efforts. Any hostages you can get out, the better. We have been told, and even the IDF recognizing that hostages have been killed because of some of the bombing attacks. It's not what they wanted. Not any more than what they want to kill innocent Palestinians. The Palestinians had control of Gaza until Fatah took over, and then they were ousted by Hamas, and now Hamas rules everything. The people have no weapons, no ability to fight. You could say, well, there got to be 400,000 that could jump on one Hamas terrorist. Yeah, that would take care of one. But then there are others. And, of course, trying to get aid, food, water, medical supplies to them. Hamas is not either letting it come in or in dribbles. Or what comes in, they confiscate for their own use. The IDF has been providing constant evidence of the massive tunnel system and proving that Hamas is using them to hide weapons and terrorists under civilians.
Today I will be revealing intelligence proving that Hamas uses hospitals as terror infrastructures. I repeat that Hamas uses hospitals as terror infrastructures. Hamas has turned hospitals into command and control centers and hideouts for Hamas terrorists and commanders. Additionally, I can confirm that according to the intelligence we have in our hands, there is fuel in hospitals in Gaza. I repeat, there is fuel in hospitals in Gaza, and Hamas is using it for its terror infrastructures. The information I will share here today has also been shared with the members of the intelligence community.
So they're letting the IDF, letting other members of the intel community understand really what's going on in Gaza. So Israel is not just bombing anything and everything in sight. They're going about it with precision, but they know these tunnels are often in areas where civilians are being used as shields against any attack. The general continued on the aspect of how we're going to deal with it.
Hamas is cynically using hospitals and as a shield for its underground terror complex. I want to explain. There is an underground metro tunnels in Gaza City, not just in Gaza City. Usually it's based next to unique sites or sensitive sites, not just the hospital, but other sites, as mosques, etc., etc., UNRWA places, hospital, schools, etc., etc. This is a philosophy of Hamas, and Shifa is one of them. It is here in Shifa Hospital where Hamas operates some of its command and control cells. This is where the direct rocket attacks command Hamas forces. Hamas terrorists operate inside and under Shifa Hospital and other hospitals in Gaza with network of terror tunnels. Hamas also has an entrance to those terror tunnels from inside the hospital wards, meaning from different places of the hospital, you can go into an underground tunnel that will provide you shelter.
It would provide you shelter. And to that extent, you have to keep in mind, Hamas planned it that way. If they're under Shifa Hospital, which is the largest hospital in Gaza, and some of these tunnels are big enough that you can roll vehicles through them. And, of course, that means easily transport troops and our munitions. The other day when the hospital was hit, and the first cry from Hamas, the Hamas public relations wing, quickly picked up by the state-controlled media here that does not dare question that it might be coming from a terrorist organization and check for facts, went immediately to the story that Israel bombed a hospital.
We have concrete evidence that hundreds of terrorists flooded into the hospital to hide there after the massacre of October 7th. Hamas uses Shifa Hospital as a shield for Hamas terror infrastructure. Hamas wages war from hospitals. By operating from these hospitals, Hamas not only endangers the lives of Israelis, civilians, but also exploit innocent Gazan civilians as human shield. Shifa is not the only hospital, it is one of many. Hamas' use of hospitals is a systematic. Hamas terrorists operate inside hospitals precisely because they know the IDF distinguishes between terrorists and civilians. Israel targets terrorists, Hamas target Israeli civilians and Gazan civilians.
Again, that's the IDF colonel, general, I should say, giving more details on the tunnels. So again, the other day, when a hospital has a large explosion and the Hamas public relations arm reached out to our state-controlled media and started saying, see what they did? See what the Israelis did? They bombed a hospital. And immediately the world outcry was, how dare they do that? Those people should be safe in a hospital and getting treatment. And you know, women and children are there being treated. This is like shooting a medic during World War II. They were wearing the Red Cross on their head. Germans, the Japanese didn't care. They would take down the medic, knowing that then they could not help other troops that got injured. And they would not kill a soldier in some cases, just badly wound him, waiting for a medic to show up to try to reach him. Hamas is a terrorist group. They're going to use whatever means they can to achieve what they want, and that is to kill all Jews and destroy Israel. Hiding under a hospital, putting munitions under the hospital, and then when there is an explosion, say, it was Israel targeting a hospital. And all the media jumped on it, ran with the story, unquestioning. The New York Times, Israel targets or strikes hospital. Then they had to take the word Israel out. Just say strikes hospital. And then explosion at a hospital. Why? Well, the fog of war. We weren't really sure what was true. Could you not accept the fact that you're getting it from Hamas terrorists as a possible big question mark as to how much was factual? You don't have to take everything the IDF general was telling you about the tunnels. You can dispute him, argue with him if you want. But the evidence has been shown over and over again. And then when evidence surfaced that the rocket that hit the hospital, or at least the parking lot next to it, was actually fired by Hamas, aimed for Israel, but misfired, turned around, fell back, somehow or another something went wrong, and either hit part of the hospital and or a parking lot, which had a lot of cars with fuel, and of course, who knows what was in the tunnels below the hospital, maybe more munitions, in addition to the rocket propellant not being used up fully, so it's like a fully loaded plane with fuel going down, going to be a massive explosion. And IDF said it intercepted communications between two Hamas terrorists, where they're acknowledging that was a mistake, what happened, and could it not have fallen somewhere else? They knew it was wrong. These are guys in Hamas in Gaza that are basically building rockets out of pipe fittings, water heaters, things of that nature. They're not near as sophisticated as Hezbollah in Lebanon. But Lebanon has also been firing on Israel. And Israel has been replying. As I speak right now, IDF tanks are still in the Gaza City region and advancing. They're still looking for what they can do to take care of some of these tunnels, get people out, rescue hostages maybe, take out additional terrorists. And the key line that the general said should be repeated over and over again. Israel cares about civilians that might be caught in the crossfire. And they don't want that to happen. They don't want to kill innocent civilians. Certainly don't want to kill some of the hostages being held. So they show restraint. Hamas is not showing any restraint. In fact, they're putting the people between them and any incoming fire from the Israeli troops. And they will continue to do that because they have no soul. They simply want destruction to rain down on every Jew and the state of Israel and Jews around the world. This resolution condemning Hamas the other day, the vote tells you just how deeply some members of Congress are willing to ignore the atrocities committed by Hamas, starting October 7, when they invaded and started slaughtering civilians. Trey Gowdy, in his TV show last night, had some remarks about it, former South Carolina congressman. I want you to hear from him coming up before we wrap up this hour. But first, I have a guest for you, and a rabbi on how this current Israeli-Hamas conflict is playing not just in Israel, not just in the States, but around the world. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is a lawyer, Jewish background, rabbi, and also served with the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia in The Hague, and even investigating, analyzing ISIS war crimes at one point. Rabbi Isaac Amon, I'm sorry. Glad to have you on board with us.
Glad to be here, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen each other. Let me begin by getting your initial response to what happened October 7th as Hamas ran into Israel.
It's unfathomable, horrific, and of course it conjures up images of the worst atrocities of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and certainly for the Jewish people, the Holocaust. It's really speechless.
And now that the war has engaged in inside Gaza, Israeli Defense Force tanks and forces are inside Gaza on the northern edge of Gaza City advancing, and they have acknowledged there's probably going to be a lot more fatalities, possibly innocents who get caught in the middle of this gunfire.
Yes, unfortunately, that is often a byproduct of war. There are casualties and innocent civilians are killed.
But what we're hearing from some, even in members of our Congress, saying Israel should cease fire, that should not continue bombing and hitting Gaza because all these Palestinians are there, but they're not being allowed to get out, mainly by Hamas, who wants to use them as shields.
That's absolutely right. Hamas won't let them leave. There are phone calls, there's documentation that these civilians are not being allowed to flee the northern part of Gaza for safety in the southern part. Also, Egypt has put up resistance to allowing Palestinian civilians to leave through the Rafah crossing to seek temporary safety in Egypt, and many Arab countries are refusing to take them in. It's a great humanitarian crisis, but the situation was forced on Israel, and many countries aren't doing anything to stop Hamas's attacks, which are not only, of course, hurting the people of Israel, but the people of Gaza as well.
Well, two things. First, have you talked or had any kind of communications from anyone in Gaza? I know they've had internet up and down, and it might be back. It might be off again. Have you had any direct contact?
So far, I've had none, but I hear it's being gradually restored.
Now, the other thing is you're saying you listed Egypt, which we've pointed out to this audience, and other such countries will not accept the Palestinians. Why?
Well, a lot of people think that if the Palestinians leave, they'll never return. But I think that...
Now, wait. They won't return because Israel will take over Gaza and they won't have a place to return? Or why?
That is what some people speculate, that Israel simply wants to kick Palestinians out to reoccupy Gaza. But that's the furthest thing that Israel wants. They withdrew completely from Gaza in 2005 with the disengagement. They uprooted 8,000 to 10,000 Jews who were living there and resettled them. And Hamas won legislative elections, and they proceeded to launch rockets at the Jewish state. And, of course, we've seen a number now of outbreaks of violence between Hamas and Israel, obviously epitomized at the worst level with what happened October 7th. But I think that many Arab countries are unfortunately using Palestinian civilians in order to keep a potential fighting force of Hamas embedded within civilians to attack Israel. And that's something we can't allow.
Well, the other part of that equation is that if they do allow the Palestinians to go in there, Hamas might be mixed with them and then use their country as a base to attack Israel. And then Israel will be attacking that country, such as Egypt. Now, we're already seeing Hezbollah out of Lebanon fire, and Israel has responded. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right, Larry. I think there is a fear that Hamas, it obviously embeds itself within the civilian population. That's their MO. Their headquarters are buried beneath the main hospital. They obviously park rockets, weapons, ammunition in tunnels spread throughout the Gaza Strip, obviously underground. Hamas acknowledged itself there are more than 300 miles or so of tunnels. Obviously, they're well-stocked, they're provisioned. They've been awaiting this day to attack Jews and Israelis. And, yeah, of course, if Egypt were to lift the blockade, there is a fear that Hamas could go and attack Egypt potentially. But I think that this other part is important, that there's been a refusal to accept many Palestinian refugees in Arab countries, including Egypt, including Lebanon. They've been allowed to languish in refugee camps. They haven't been granted citizenship. They have no right to reintegrate or to integrate into their host societies, and that's a big problem.
Now, to that extent, when we look at the repercussions around the world, the other day, Russia presented two draft resolutions to the Security Council demanding Israel not take protective measures in response to the terrorists, and also a resolution refusing to condemn or even name Hamas for prompting this current wave of action.
This is a really big problem at the international level. You know, there was initial sympathy for Israel, for Jews, with the brutality, the heinousness, the slaughter, again, of men, women, and children, including of many non-Jews who came from over 30 different nationalities.
Right.
And over time, that sympathy has waned, and Israel is subjected often to double standards that would not be applied to any other nation that is forced to defend itself. This, in many ways, is an existential threat. It's the October 7th was the darkest day for Israel and really for the Jewish people, probably since the Holocaust. Certainly the single deadliest day for Jews since 1945.
How the world attention has changed, I read to the audience earlier, I'll share with you, actress Angelina Jolie, for, you know, beautiful woman, great acting, but this has turned me entirely off her. She starts off by saying, you know, I'm concerned about the hostages, the families who have lost a loved one, above all the children and the children orphaned. What happened in Israel is an act of terror, but cannot justify innocent lives in bombing a civilian population in Gaza with no possibility to evacuate. Hamas will not allow them to evacuate if they wanted to. And what supplies are coming in, Hamas is confiscating.
Yes, they're doing that openly. Again, we know it's documented. They're refusing to allow them to leave. They've confiscated billions of dollars in aid meant for Palestinians over the last few decades sent by the United States, the European Union, the international community. There's a UN agency that works in Gaza. They've acknowledged, though they since deleted the tweet, this was the last couple of weeks, that Hamas went in and took fuel and took aid that was intended for ordinary civilians. Unfortunately, this is a war.
But the people that suddenly are turning, like you said, on Israel, like, oh my gosh, you got to stop. You have to have a ceasefire. Do they not know, do not understand, or just refuse to accept that Hamas is using these civilians as gambits and also shields?
I think it's a combination. They're refusing to accept it. There's now an attempt to simply deny the horror and the atrocities that occurred on October 7th. Many people, we see this on college campuses, really disturbing in the United States and elsewhere, and a lot of ostensibly pro-Palestinian marches that have nothing to do with freeing the people of Gaza. They shout anti-Jewish slogans. They wish to destroy the Jewish state. And I think that people can't reconcile themselves to the idea that Hamas would do such a thing, because a normal human being would have no problem condemning unequivocally what they did on October 7th.
So today, the White House, the Biden administration, announcing new actions to combat anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses and elsewhere. The Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism, tracking incidents of U.S. anti-Semitic harassment and so forth since 1979, found 3,600-plus anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. in 2022, up 36% from the previous year, the highest on record. And I don't see any current numbers for this year, but based on what's happening, that's also got to be up substantially. And at Cornell University, they were tweeting out, someone was tweeting out the other day, death and talking about killing Jews on online posts. Where is the government, the DOJ, going after hate crimes when Israelis are the targets?
Yeah, it's Israelis, but it's also Jews, American citizens who are just students, who are faculty, who are staff, who are families, who've been in the United States for a long time. They feel incredibly unsafe. You mentioned Cornell. They had to lock the Center for Jewish Studies down. They've had to close the kosher dining hall because it was the subject of threat, as you said, and Jewish students have been forced to barricade themselves in many cases within their dorms. The Biden administration, as you said, finally acknowledged that this is an issue. But yeah, anti-Semitism is unfortunately only growing, and we're seeing it openly manifesting itself as we speak. It's really horrific. And it's for this reason, by the way, that anti-Semitism is really the world's oldest hatred. It's existed in every culture, in every age. And unfortunately, even in 2023, it is rearing its ugly head again. It is not going away.
And yet the Department of Education for Civil Rights cannot state about the concern about anti-Semitism without also stating Islamophobia. I mean, you're not allowed to make a decision or statement simply about anti-Semitism. And no one wants to be attacking Muslims who have nothing to do with this. No one of sane mind. But they're going to throw that in your face every time that, well, you're anti-Islamophobic right now. Are you Islamophobic? Your thoughts?
You know, there is a very big problem when it comes, as you identify, to just condemning anti-Semitism by itself. Within the last couple of years, you know, there were members, of course, even of Congress, who refused to just condemn Jew hatred. We can have political disputes. We can disagree about what the proper policy of a certain government, including the Israeli government, should be. But that's not the same as saying, let's wipe, you know, the state of Israel off the face of the earth. Or, again, as a common slogan is being voiced, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And that's interpreted by many as a call for ethnic cleansing, to eliminate the Jewish state. And you're right. It's just there's such an inability to condemn it, or usually the lumping anti-Semitism in with all sorts of hatred or discrimination against other minorities. It's a real problem.
Rabbi Amon, I want to thank you for your time. We'll probably do it again. I appreciate your wisdom and your knowledge on the subject, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Rabbi Isaac Amon. Coming up, a suggestion that might move closer to World War III, or would it? Going against Iran? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton, and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Instead of unmanned facilities in Syria, they need to take precision strikes against the IRGC leadership in Iran, meaning hit their command and control centers, all of their kinetic infrastructure to control rockets, missiles, and drones, hit their leadership, hit their training facilities where they train Hamas and Hezbollah fighters. That's the way that we can de-escalate this situation, is by escalating the lethality of force used against Iran. That's what worked in the past. Moving away from that is what has created this situation in the first place.
Those are the remarks of John Ratcliffe, former Department of National Intel, serving in the White House. What he is suggesting, some are saying, might be a bridge too far. That if we start attacking Iran and its oil depots and things of that nature directly, because they are funding the terrorist activities. Well, first of all, actually I'm in favor of it, but I worry about the consequences. There have been numerous reports. I have not seen anything to validate it today, that Iran actually does have a full nuclear weapon now. Delivery system is still suspect if they can do that. Of course, if you've got basically nothing more than a dirty bomb suitcase, you can put it on a mule and get it somewhere if that was your intent. And escalating directly against Iran would no doubt certainly put a position for China to be more directly involved, and Russia. And would that actually help in this case, or would it quickly accelerate to World War III? And again, by World War III, we're not talking about just boots on the ground. We're talking about numerous nuclear devices being employed. Ratcliffe obviously is knowledgeable and knows more than I do, but when he dares to suggest that, it's the kind of thing that I think deserves attention and concern. But the underlying part of it is, he said, the reason we're in this right now is because of the attitude this administration has taken with Iran. Now, maybe you're not ready to buy into that we start attacking Iran and their oil ports, things of this nature. But we're in this because this administration has been trying to build a relationship with Iran. That releasing of that $6 billion being held in Qatar that they were going to unfreeze, that was going to be a friendship gesture. You do not buy terrorists as friends. It doesn't work. But this administration was going to do it. They were going to follow through on what Obama had put in place before he left office, the joint plan to allow Iran to have nuclear facilities, not to build a bomb, but to improve the life of their citizens. We all knew what the intent would be. And Israel obviously had to be concerned. And, of course, we had some mysterious explosions at some of the Iranian nuclear facilities. Some of the Iranian nuclear physicists disappeared for some reason or another. And now, supposedly, what they have done is implant their nuclear facility deep, deep underground, where not sure if a bunker-busting bomb could get deep enough to cause any damage. So it might well involve Mossad agents and others specially trained, trying to get inside Iran undetected and get to a point where they could cause havoc for such a device. This sounds stuff like you'd see in a movie. But I'm not so sure it's far from what you might see in a movie. In real life, though, we do have lives at stake. Both those who are trying to go in and carry it out, and then if we decide to follow and fire against Iran and make it clear to them, we're not going to allow you to continue to funnel money to terrorists, would that be successful? I'm not sure it would be, as much as I'd like to believe it. What is successful is if we start with what we have in place now, sanctions against oil going out of Iran. That $6 billion that the Biden administration was going to unfreeze and give to them as a gesture of a peace pipe is small compared to the $100 billion plus that Iran has been reaping, ignoring sanctions because we're not enforcing them as they sell oil to those who would do us harm as well. And then that money is in turn funneled to Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Taliban in Afghanistan, and whatever remains of ISIS, wherever they are, be in the Middle East or Africa. They're trying to put us at war footing on so many different edges of the world that we're not going to be capable of dealing with them appropriately, if at all. We were talking earlier in our discussion with Rabbi Imam about what happened in Russia, about a plane load of Israelis and Jews arriving at an airport in Russia. And then what happened? Those are among hundreds storming the airport in the regional capital of Dagestan last night. They were rushing towards the gate seeking passengers arriving from Israel. And in the scene, many you could hear in somewhat shouting Allah Akbar, the jihadist rally cry message, Allah is supreme, waving Palestinian flags. They ran from plane to plane on the tarmac trying to find Jews to kill, grabbing passengers' passports looking for any evidence of Jewish identity. In fact, at least one flight had to be diverted to protect passengers scheduled to arrive from Israel. Other flights were diverted because their people were all over the tarmac. They couldn't land with people everywhere there and on the runway. And this follows the fact that the Russian Foreign Ministry welcomed a delegation representing Hamas Thursday, 3 days before a Muslim mob then stormed this airport looking for Jewish people to kill. So last week, in the midst of all of this, now that we've had October 7th, Hamas invading Israel, killing innocents, those who had no weapons, those who were elderly, those who were women with children, and even children in their cribs, gunned down or hacked to death. Russian Foreign Ministry welcomes a delegation representing Hamas. Putin has used his veto powers at the UN to prevent the UN from responding productively to the massacre in Israel, including babies. And in fact, Russia did present two widely rejected draft resolutions to the Security Council. One demanding Israel cannot take protective measures in response to terrorists. Can you imagine someone saying that Russia cannot protect itself from some group trying to take over Russia? Well, of course that would be rejected. But who would introduce it? And then also, they would not even accept a resolution that Russia proposed that you refuse to condemn or even name Hamas for the violence in the region. Anyone who thinks Russia is a friend of ours, they're not. Neither is China, nor Iran. And of course, we should point out again, we have military, U.S. military personnel in the area, the second carrier fleet's arriving. But aside from those in the Mediterranean, we have forces at various bases in Iraq and Syria, and some of those bases have been rocketed. So far, no deaths reported of U.S. troops, but several suffering trauma, head trauma. In his Sunday night program on Fox News last night, former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy called out for those who will not condemn what Hamas did.
There are some close calls in politics, issues where reasonable minds can differ. And then there is the beheading of children, the killing of pregnant women, the barbarism of killing people simply because they are Jewish. So when a Republican and a Democrat joined hands to craft a resolution supporting Israeli victims and condemning terrorism, you would think that might pass without dissent. But you would think wrong. Nine House Democrats voted against the resolution. Six others sat on their lukewarm hands and voted present. To paraphrase Dante, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in the face of evil. And yet 15 House Democrats can't quite make up their minds. Or worse yet, they side with Hamas.
That is disturbing on so many levels that it's happening in our Congress. The atrocities the Japanese carried out against civilians and against our troops, not one member of Congress then would dare say, well, they had a reason, not one of them. But these Democrats who voted against the measure, the usual suspects. And remind you again, it was a bipartisan resolution led by House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair McCall of Texas, Ranking Member Greg Meeks of New York, affirming the U.S. commitment to Israel's security, including through security assistance, calling on all countries to condemn Hamas's brutal war and condemn Iran's support for terrorist groups and proxies, including Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and calls for full enforcement of sanctions on Iran, which we have, but we're not enforcing under this administration. Of the 9 Democrats who voted against it, as I said, they're the usual suspects. Let's go through the list anyway. Ilhan Omar, Minnesota. Delia Ramirez of Illinois. Summer Lee of Pennsylvania. AOC, New York. Al Green, Texas. Andre Carson, Indiana. Jamal Bowman, New York, who only knows how to pull a fire alarm, not open a door, apparently, and lie about it. Cori Bush of Missouri, who worries about her security, but not yours. And Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Note that I did not name Progressive Caucus Chair Yaya Paul of Washington. She didn't vote against it. She didn't vote for it. She just simply voted present. Another cop-out. I'll also add this, and I have yet to hear or see any explanation from him. Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, voting against that measure. What the hell were you thinking? What are you thinking? In fact, I hope that your name is first up on the list of those being flipped in the next election. I'd mentioned earlier how you have all these do-gooders and these college students who basically don't know anything. They don't know history. They're not learning history other than pronouns. And yet they love a rally in a crowd. It's like a beer party. Bring the keg. We'll get a PLO flag. Wave it around. Shout death to Israel. Death to the Jews. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means Israel will disappear. And they don't even know the history. They don't bother learning the history. They just go because it seems to be something to do. And then you've got, as I'd mentioned earlier, actress Angelina Jolie. She's saying that what happened in Israel is an act of terror, but cannot justify the innocent lives lost in bombing a civilian population in Gaza. They're not trying to bomb the civilians. They're trying to get after the terrorist. But then she has the people in Gaza. They have nowhere to go, no access to food or water, no possibility of evacuation. You know why, Angelina? You know why? Because the aid and food being sent in is being confiscated by the terrorists, not being given to the Palestinian citizens. And the Palestinians who want to leave and get out of the country, they're not being allowed to leave by Hamas, nor by Egypt, letting them come into their country. She declined to mention neighboring countries in the region who have refused to take the Palestinians, such as Egypt. And she said the few aid trucks that are entering are a fraction of what is needed. That's true. She said humanity demands an immediate ceasefire. Well, that would be true if Hamas were to give up. And to that extent, I love quoting, and I never thought I would say this, but quoting a remark by comedian Amy Schumer, who is Jewish. And in reference to what Jolie was saying, Schumer, regarding the ceasefire, said, or asked actually, why do you call for a ceasefire instead for Hamas to surrender? Simple question. Simple answer would be, that would stop everything. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.